Appreciate the opportunity of opening up the Word with you tonight for a brief moment. Have you ever felt down in the depths? One point or another, I'm sure you have. You might be there tonight. You might have been there recently, or you might be going down there tomorrow. I don't know. But let's read Psalm 130, and we'll look briefly at what I would entitle the Psalm of the Desperate. The Psalm of the Desperate. A little cough has been going around and stuff, and my throat's not quite normal, but hopefully you can understand me okay. We have a different expression in French than in English, and I always forget which one is which. In French, I think it might be we have a frog in our throat, or is that the English one? French, because you don't get it. In English, you'd say a cat in your throat, or how would you? What is it? A frog. Oh, okay, well, that's English. Well, in French, then, it's the cat. You have a cat in your throat. So I always get confused which one is which. And different expressions, but Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let's pray. Father, as we take a few moments to look into this psalm, we pray that you would touch our hearts, Father. I pray that you might encourage those who need an encouragement. I pray that, Father, that you might speak to those who need to be spoken to. I pray that, Father, if there's any unsaved here, that you might convict them, Father. We pray that you might do work in the hearts here as you see fit, Father. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm of the Desperate. First of all, we'll look at the need for hope. We need to have a sensible awareness. Too often we might be insensible to our need. We might not realize where we are spiritually. But when we do sense our need, whether they be physical, whether they be emotional, social, in our family, whether they be spiritual needs, we need to have a recognition of our deep distress. We need to really realize where we're at and that in and ourselves we're desperate. We have no strength. We cannot do anything of ourselves. And the only way to look up is up to the Lord for any hope. James 4:9, as far as spiritual needs, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. All too often we might not even sense we have needs. We're just flippant about the situation of our lives when the Lord says we should be afflicted and mourn. Romans 7:24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We need to be sensible in being aware of our needs within, as well as needs without. And Nehemiah was deeply troubled, as an example, when Jerusalem laid low. He took it to heart. Many others heard the news of Jerusalem being the walls being laid down and being broken down. But he took it to heart, and he cried out for many months, and the Lord used him. We are all too often too comfortable with what's going on, whether in our own lives or whether we're just in our circumstances of life, unawares of the depths of our need. And I think of Revelation 3:17 and 18, which say, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And he applies this then to the need of salvation. So perhaps even unsaved, you might be comfortable with your life. You might profess to know Christ, but you don't realize the depths in which you are, from which you should be crying out from. As saved people, sometimes we are insensitive to the situation that we're in and the needs that we have. And we're not moved to really cry out to God because we don't realize the depths that we're in. Perhaps we aren't moved by the needs around us because we're a little insensitive and we're just a little bit uncaring and our lives are fine and so we're not really too concerned. But first, to have this crying out to God, we need to realize our depths. And from there then, to realize that we're in the depths does not mean we should despair. And there's hope in only one direction with the Lord. It's up. I cried unto thee, O Lord. So that's the need of our for hope, to have sensible awareness. But second of all, the plea of hope here, I cried unto thee. It's not just a passive hope. It's a hope that pushes us to action, spending time in prayer. How much are we driven to prayer? How much are we really spending time in prayer? Are we spending just seconds or minutes? Or are we really spending time because we're praying out of desperation? We're praying because there's such a need. Nehemiah prayed for months out of a broken heart for the needs of Jerusalem before the Lord opened up the door for him to return. So the plea of hope here, an act of hope, I cried unto thee. We think also of the keys to hope, the search for efficiency here as he's crying out to be heard. The Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. He wasn't just praying to, you know, punching in this prayer clock, you know, at a 15-minute prayer time and just praying to get prayer done. He wanted to be heard. He wanted his prayers to get through the ears and to the heart of the Lord. And so that's really what he's desperately seeking for, is is efficient prayers. And we know that the efficient prayers come through a life of righteousness, of a clean conscience, having settled what needs to be settled. We know that the Lord, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66:18. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So it's just not automatic that God hears all prayers. No, God says that he does not hear all prayers. This psalmist, this prayer warrior, wanted his prayers to be heard. And so he really cried out and wanted his voice to be heard. He was humbled by a reality, not just he didn't just have a search for efficiency, but humbled by reality, as we see in verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He knows he has no leg to stand on to come before a holy God, a righteous God. He knows that he's not coming by any sense of merit. He is coming out of desperation of his need as an unworthy sinner, saved by grace, and knowing that God would hear him, not because of what he's done, but only because of God's grace and patience. That's how we need to approach the Lord. Out of desperation, we need to be humbled by the reality of who God is. We briefly look here at three lessons on grace. It's a needful grace. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who, Lord, shall stand? Everyone falls in this category that we need God's grace. We are totally unworthy of being able to approach God. And we need to realize then that grace is not something we deserve or earn. It's available, and the psalmist is excited to say that, but there is forgiveness with thee. No one could have a chance to stand before God if God would mark iniquities, but there is forgiveness with thee. There is available grace. There's a world of difference here between God's patience. Who shall stand, in the sense that God, in a sense, continues to let people live even in their sinful state. But there is forgiveness. Those who appreciate or profit from God's patience don't necessarily have or seek his forgiveness. But we need to not only appreciate God's patience towards the sinful that they continue, but we need to seek God's forgiveness and appreciate then the available grace, not just appreciate God's patience. We know that those who take God's patience but without seeking his forgiveness will only endure his patience, will have his patience only for a certain time, and his long-suffering only for a certain time. But when someone seeks for his forgiveness, well, that is unlimited in time. Once gained, forgiveness is forever. His forgiveness that comes not without the deep, heartfelt, sincere repentance of the brokenhearted. There is available grace. And so if God is patient with you, have you found then his forgiveness? That's really what he wants to give you. But not to be abused. We know that many people would like to have both. Be able to have the forgiveness of their sin and the continuance to be able to sin even more. Kind of a free gift of a free ticket to heaven, but the opportunity of continuing to sin. We know here, as it says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is a purpose to grace. Grace is not just needful, it's not just available, but it's also purposeful. God's grace and forgiveness are available for sure, but not without purpose. God's grace is easy in the sense that it's free. Easy, it's just a plea. But it's also easy for so many to be abusing of God's grace, to want God's grace and then to twist it into unrighteousness, as Jude 4 warns. Isaiah 26:10 says, "Let favor or grace be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness." Just giving forgiveness to the wicked without repentance, they'll take that grace as an opportunity to do even more wickedness. That's why we find God very clear calling men to repentance, calling sinners to repentance. And there's no salvation apart from repentance and faith. And so that kind of grace, that someone who is repentant will understand that the grace that God gives and the forgiveness God gives is with a purpose, not to continue doing more sin, but to fear God, to now appreciate who God is, to appreciate that God is a God that we can't take lightly. We need to take seriously. And when God speaks, we know that He's good, we know He's righteous, we know He's sovereign, and we want to do what He says. We appreciate His Word, and even when His Word seems to go against what we naturally desire, we understand our natural desires are twisted. So we appreciate His Word, even when it means a difficulty in this life. We know that His Word is good, and so we want to take Him seriously. That's the purpose of grace. When God saves a man, He saves him so that he can obey and start being transformed from day to day. We have a wonderful God, and His grace is purposeful so that we would learn to fear Him. So far, have seen about the need of hope to realize we're in the depths. We can't be lower than that. But there's a reason to look up. God is there. And then we looked at the plea of hope, that the hope is active. It calls out to God. Briefly, verse 5 talks about the patience of hope, waiting. I wait for the Lord. And the emphasis there is so neat. I wait. Salvation and believing in God's promises isn't something that we will be gratified right away. We realize it's for the eternal life. We realize that even the difficulty, the narrow road, there will be a lot of times that we'll just have to wait for God's answers. We'll have to wait. And after we've been waiting a while, we'll have to keep waiting. Like someone who's waiting at a bus stop and the bus doesn't come for a few days and people are laughing at him because he keeps waiting for the bus. Well, we just keep waiting and keep waiting. Well, God's promises are true, and those who believe them will then be willing to wait. A couple years ago, when some things happened and people thought that as a church we had made a right decision, and that even though other churches some had circulated that we didn't, and then some of our people thought, well, let's hope we get some fruit so that we can be proven right. And it took me a few years to realize they were waiting for fruit so that they thought we as a church took the right decision. And I could see that after a few years, it just seemed like there's no fruit. And they got tired of waiting. And so they said, oh, we must have not made the right decision. And they left. And I'm thinking, wait, if we believed we had made the right decision back then, it's not a matter of 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. If the right decision was the right decision, our decision is not dependent on if we're going to see fruit from it right away. We need to wait. We need to wait. That's just one example that we need to live with the hope that when we do what God says, we don't have to worry about results in the immediate. We can just wait. And when we wait, we show that our hope is in the Lord. The patience of the hope is just willing to wait and keep waiting and keep doing what's right and keep doing what's right and keep waiting and keep waiting, even though if there's no fruit, even though there's no evidence of it, keep waiting and keep waiting. That is the patience of hope. Now, the person behind the hope then is God. And really, is the center of our message tonight is God. And you notice God being named for His covenant name, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And then capital L and then O-R-D, small, that's Lord, as in the Master. And both aspects of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the eternal self-existent one. But He's also the Master, the sovereign ruler, our supreme authority. He uses both the names of God interchangeably. That is the center of whose focus he had here. His hope was in the Lord. And that's what we started singing tonight. My hope is in the Lord. And that's where we need to really rest. But the he's mentioning right after, I wait for the Lord, and then my soul doth wait. And what we wait for the Lord isn't for in this life. We don't wait for God for what we can benefit in this life. And the emphasis is my soul doth wait. Now, obviously, a lot of the promises God gives do touch this life. Promise to take care of our needs, to eat and have a place to stay and so forth. But we need to wait on the Lord as far as this earth is concerned, as only as it relates to eternity. Because we're not centered on this world. My soul doth wait. And that's the emphasis. So we wait on the Lord as far as eternity is concerned, and as it touches this life, only as it relates to eternity. That's the sphere of our hope, our soul. And the reason for the hope is His Word. And in His Word do I hope. Now that's almost the first contact we have with God. God is invisible. God, we can't see God. We can't sense God. We can't. Our contact with God is through His Word. That's how we know who He is. That's how we know what He promises. And so the emphasis here is, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. You and I have met people that are very spiritual, right? And totally disconnected with God's Word. Like my church is in nature. You've probably met such people. You know, they go worship Sunday mornings out in nature. Well, they're just as emphatic as the psalmist. I wait on the Lord. But it's not the true Lord, because why? It's not His Word. Our point of contact with the true God is through His Word. That's our point of contact. And that's why the psalmist interchangeably puts it. My hope is in the Lord. I wait on the Lord. His Word is what I put my hope in. Both are connected, because the true God is the God who has revealed Himself in this Word. And so really the reason for the hope is His Word, His promise. We have hope only in to that degree, rightful hope, legitimate hope, to that degree that it matches up with His promises. How many people we meet that they have hope, but it doesn't fit His promise. We have one lady coming to church that's come for 4 or 5 years, still unsaved, still very blind. And when we try to address her new spiritual need, I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And I trust in the Lord. She just feels like, as long as she's searching, she's fine. God will take care of her. And we keep trying to show her that as long as she's searching, she's lost. She needs to be troubled by that, and then she can find it. Until she's found, she has found. She's lost, but it still hasn't fazed her, because she's got hope, but not biblical hope. Our hope is only legitimate in as much as it has this to rest upon: His promises, what He says. We find briefly then the last few points in verse 6, the intensity of the hope. I don't know how many of you have worked as security guard ever, any of you? Security guard at night. I've worked in my college years security at night, and I can relate. They that watch for the morning, you're trying to get through the long hours of darkness, and when your body naturally craves for sleep, and you're thinking, I can't wait for the light of dawn to start appearing over the horizon. You just keep waiting for that time to come. Now, the psalmist must have worked security too, because my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. The intensity of the hope is more than that. More than that is His wait on the Lord. Then the invitation to hope Israel. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. The invitation to Israel. Now through the New Testament we realize that then it's more than just Israel. Christ was given also as the light unto the Gentiles. But here, let Israel hope in the Lord. And we also know that that invitation is broadened, and the whole point of Israel was to be the light of the world. So through Israel, the whole Gentiles were also invited to know about the true Lord. But we hear an invitation to hope, and that for you and I, we need to realize God is wanting us to hope in Him. He is inviting us to. He is commanding us to. He exhorts us to. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. We need to obey. God wants us to put our hope. And once we've trusted in Him and put our hope in Him, He wants us to invite others to hope in God. God is a God that desires people to hope in Him. because he's the only source of hope, and he knows how in the depths people are, but he does not desire for them to stay there. And then the description, the reason why this invitation is given, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. It is overabundant redemption. God doesn't just save barely, he saves totally and forever, and with abundant life. When he forgives, he doesn't just forgive, he makes us and co-heritors with Christ. I mean, it's plenteous redemption. You can't get enough of all the addition to the redemption, the plenteous redemption there is in God. There is plenty to go around. That there's reason to invite people to hope. How long ago have you talked to an unsaved person around here about your hope in the Lord and about inviting them to hope in the Lord? How long has it been since you've witnessed and to tell people, hey, can I tell you what Christ has done for me? How long have you been the instrument of God to invite others to this hope? And the last verse, the fulfillment of hope, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Hope in God is not a vain hope that will be frustrated with the reality of being disappointed. No, it will happen. And God will also see, as he's promised to Israel, that he will redeem Israel, and that is yet to come. But God will fulfill his promises, and that is in the end, the reason why there is reason to hope in the Lord. Hopefully, this message will encourage you. You might be in the depths now. You might realize I should be in the depths now. I should be sensitive to the needs around me, needs in my heart. Lord, help me realize the depths I'm in, so that I can really take time to call out and cry out to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you might encourage this body of believers. We pray that for anyone that might not be a believer, we pray that you would touch hearts, Father, and lift up your people, that we might hope in you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.